Life is made up of choices that we have to make. Every day, all the time, we have choices to make. Making the right choices result in getting an easier life. Making the wrong choices result in getting a difficult life. Teenagers do not get that. So in a way, we could say that we have the life that we choose. There is really no one else to blame than ourselves because we get what we have chosen. Just about every day, we are confronted with choices to make. We cannot escape having to make choices. Buy this one or that one. Move there or here. Pick this one, pick that one. Go this way, go that way. Choices after choices. It has been like this from the beginning of time. Adam and Eve had a choice to make. God did not choose for them. They made the move that they wanted to make, and we are all paying for it now. Everybody has choices to make. About 3,400 years ago, Moses asked the people to choose. He said in Deuteronomy 30, verse 15, "See, I have set before you this day life and good, death and evil. Therefore, choose life that you and your descendants may live." So way back then, people had a choice to make. Later, his replacement, Joshua, also presented the people with a choice to make when they were in the Promised Land. He said in Joshua 24:15, "Choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods that your fathers served on the other side of the river or the gods of the Amorites in this land, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." They had a choice to make. They had a choice of three masters that they could pick, and they could only pick one to serve. When the Babylonians came and besieged the city of Jerusalem, God said to Jeremiah in chapter 21, verse 8, "You shall say to this people, this says the Lord, I set before you the way of life and the way of death." So people had to choose what they wanted. But it was pretty clear to remain in the city was a poor choice. It meant death. And to leave was a better choice. It meant life. People have always been confronted with choices to make. This morning in our text, we see Jesus doing the same thing. He is confronting people with a choice to make. He will talk about two ways of life that people have to choose. So this is an extremely important choice to make. Choosing the right one leads to eternal life. Choosing the wrong one leads to eternal damnation. What Jesus is saying here is, choose your destiny. Please turn with me to our text, Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, as we continue where we stopped last week. We are still in the third part of chapter 7, dealings with the two ways to go. We started that part last week, choosing the way to go when it comes to people. Choosing the offensive, rude way to treat people, or choosing the gentle, gracious way to treat them. The golden rule, that is called. Today, the two ways to go have to do with our destiny. The two ways, they lead somewhere. They lead to different eternal destinies. So today you get to choose your destiny. Jesus continues his Sermon on the Mount, and he says in verse 13, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." The Sermon on the Mount closes with four cautions, four warnings. Warning number one is about the wrong direction. Do not take the wrong road. Warning number two is about the wrong perception. Do not follow the false prophets. Warning number three is about the wrong assumption. Do not assume that any words will get you into heaven. And then warning number four, the wrong foundation. Do not build on a flimsy foundation. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus defined the Christian character. He showed us an impossible way of life for the natural man: to love his enemies, to turn the other cheek, to do good to those who curse him, to rejoice when persecuted, to go the extra mile. These things are impossible to do naturally. It is not in our nature to do these things. Yes, an impossible way for the natural man, but not an impossible way of life for the spiritually redeemed man. Paul said in Philippians, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." So Jesus talked about two things in verse 13. A gate to enter, a road to travel. The narrow gate is Jesus Christ. It is not the law. He said in John 10, verse 9, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and will find pasture." Some people are seeking to broaden, to enlarge the way to heaven. This is too narrow. Church leaders claim that if a person is a good Buddhist or a good Muslim or a sincere religious man, surely God will receive him. They are trying to broaden this gate. They are persuaded that a man can serve two masters and successfully make the best of both worlds. They do not believe that the gate is narrow or that the road is difficult, as Jesus said. People are constantly trying to broaden the road to heaven, broaden, enlarge the gate, make additional doors. They're trying all sorts of things. I have heard it said that all roads lead to God. To Rome, maybe, but not to God. We are to be tolerant because tolerance is being stressed nowadays. People talk about tolerance. It is promoted. It is interesting that those who push tolerance are not tolerant of those who are not tolerant. Or they are very tolerant of certain things and they are intolerant of other things. Christians are called narrow-minded. Jesus must be narrow-minded, because he commanded his followers to enter the narrow gate. In order to obtain eternal life and enter the kingdom of heaven, they must enter the narrow gate, which is Jesus. They have to pass by Jesus. The only way to enter is through Jesus. No other. Narrow gate. One person. Oswald Chambers, who died in 1917, said, "The destiny of every human being depends on his relationship to Jesus Christ, not his relationship to life or his service or his usefulness, but simply and solely on his relationship to Jesus Christ. Some people are concerned about the poor heathen who have never heard about Jesus Christ. And they ask, oh my, what will happen to them since they have never heard about the only way? And they're all concerned. They should not worry. God will take care of them. God is just and fair. But most of those who are disturbed about the destiny of these poor heathen are the very same people who will never give a dime to any mission work to reach these poor heathen. I guess they are not that concerned. And they should not, because Jesus said in Luke 12:48, he talked about personal responsibility, and he said there, he who knew his master's will and did not do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know and yet committed things worthy of many stripes would be beaten with few. For to whom much is given, from him much is required. And to whom little is given, from him little is required. So God knows what was given to whom, and he will judge accordingly. A gate serves two purposes, to let in and to shut out. This gate is not the pearly gate to heaven. This gate is the only way of admission to the road that leads to eternal life. All those who do not enter by this particular gate are eternally barred from the presence of God. What does this narrow gate require? Three things. Requirement number one, the acceptance of the Bible. No one can enter this narrow gate. No one can become a Christian while entertaining doubts about the divine inspiration and the authority of the Scriptures. This is the first indication of having entered the narrow gate. Those who reject the Bible reject the narrow gate. Requirement number two is true repentance. We and our sins must separate. We must go different directions, or we and our God will never come together. Do not think that you and your sins along with God are going to live happily together ever after. It won't happen. Those who refuse to repent refuse the narrow gate. And requirement number three is total surrender to God. It is through the complete surrender to God that we can pass through the narrow gate. Those who refuse to surrender to God refuse the narrow gate. We must leave three things behind in order to pass through, in order to be able to pass through that narrow gate. Three things have to be left behind. And number one is the world. We have to make a choice between the Lord's way and the world's way. Only one way is right. Only one way leads to eternal life. The second thing we need to leave is the crowd. Usually, after we choose the Lord, we lose some friends. We even lose family members. It is a lonely road. Of my large family, only one nephew is on the same road with me. All the others, they chose the other one. And the third thing that we have to leave behind, and that's the hard one, the old man, not your dad, not your husband, the old nature. This is harder. But if we really want to enter this gate, we have to leave our old nature. We have to leave our old selfish self outside. Two cannot go through this gate. The old man must be left behind. Only the new born again nature can pass through that narrow gate. Not the new nature with the old nature, only one can pass through. Now, after the gate, Jesus talks about the way, the road itself. Between the gate and the goal, the destiny, is the road, the way. Not only is the gate narrow, but the road is difficult as well, and it is deserted. Not only is there a choice of gates, but there is also a choice of roads. You can choose the gate, but then go the wrong road. There are two roads to take, two ways to go. Jesus starts with the one that leads to destruction. And four characteristics about that road are mentioned. Characteristic number one, Jesus said, it is wide. It is broad. Wide because there are no restriction, no commandments of God, no limitation. It is pleasant. It is easy. No perseverance, no discipline, no self-denial, no sacrifice, absolutely nothing to do to remain on this road. Any dead fish can float downstream. Only a live fish can swim against the current. The going is smooth and easy. It is all downhill. Going down, down, down to hell is easy. Characteristic number two, it is crowded. It is not a lonely road. It is packed with people because it is attractive to the carnal mind. People like the fact that there are no limitation, there are no restriction, no sacrifices to make. So it is packed. A lot of people like that road. And then characteristic number three, it is deceptive. Very few people on that road have any idea of where the road is taking them. Many are deceived, believing that they are on the right road. They are sure they are on the right road. So deceived, they regard as fools those who are not on that road with them, those who disagree with them. And then characteristic number four, the worst of all, it is fatal. It leads to hopelessness. It leads to eternal destruction, Jesus said. It leads to the bottomless pit. That's where it leads. That fatal way can only be forsaken by conversion, doing a right about face, turning from sin and selfishness to God and holy living. A lot of damage was done in the past by those who painted the Christian road as being trouble-free and an easy road. It is not. People said, oh, just receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and all your troubles will be over. Just accept Jesus, and it will be smooth sailing. Are you kidding? The road starts with denying self. Jesus said, Matthew 16:24, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. So it is not easy sailing. The road of self-denial is not a popular road. The world is promoting just the opposite. Indulge yourself. Go for it, man. Get what you want, or you deserve it. And people like to hear this. So unfortunately, a lot of people are on that road, and it leads to the bottomless pit forever and ever and ever. Luke tells the story in chapter 13 of Jesus being asked by a man, "Are there few who are saved?" the man asked Jesus. And Jesus replied, "Strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able." So Jesus showed that it is possible to reach a point where the person is not able to enter anymore. Jesus used the word strive, struggle to enter. It is not an easy thing. It means we must labor fervently. The old flesh will not simply die easily. When we think it is finally down and we have the victory, well, the old man pops his ugly head up again to fight. There is no easy way. We must strive to enter. We must strive to stay on that right road. After explaining the reason for the narrowness of the gate and the difficulty of the road, Jesus said in verse 14 that few find it. What does he mean by few find it? There might be hundreds of thousands of born-again Christians in this world, but that is few compared to the billions of people with no desire, no concern for the things of God, living totally after the flesh. Few indeed are walking on the road to eternal life. And that's the choice that they have made, the wrong choice. People do not want to appear narrow, so they will try to broaden that road, saying, "Oh, God is love. It's okay. I'm okay. You're okay." No, I'm not okay. You're not okay. I need Jesus Christ, and you need Jesus Christ. People live as they please, but when they die, they want a preacher to put them into heaven. Even preachers at times, they have to be careful. They try to comfort the bereaved by telling them that their loved one is in heaven. We cannot say these things. An evil man died, and his brothers came to the preacher and said, "I would love for you to do the funeral of my brother, and I would like for you to say that he was a saint." The preacher replied, "Are you kidding me? He was a terrible man." The brother said, "Wait. I will make $1 million contribution to your building fund if you say that my brother was a saint." The preacher said, "Okay, I will say he was a saint." So at the funeral, the preacher said, "Johnny was a terrible man. He mistreated his children. He cheated on his wife. He was dishonest in business. But compared to his brother, he was a saint." As a smart preacher. But people desire to broaden the gate at the time of death. Jesus said, "No, don't do that. Narrow is the gate. Narrow is the gate when you're 15 years old, and narrow is the gate when you're about to die. The gate is not expandable. It is not made of elastic. It is best not to say anything to the bereaved at all if we are not 100% sure that their loved ones are with the Lord. And it is not for us to say anyway who is in heaven and who is not. Only God knows those who are His." But Jesus did not enlarge the gate for Himself either. He did not have any special dispensation. He said, "I did not come to do my own will." So the road was self-denial for him. The gate was narrow for him. And the road is self-denial for us, and the gate is narrow for us. We need to enter the narrow gate with Jesus. Yes, there is a road that leads to heaven, but the gate is narrow. The gate is Jesus Christ. There is no other way. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's pretty narrow. And someone may object and say, I don't like this. It's too narrow. Too bad. We must come to God according to God's terms. We cannot modify the terms. We cannot come up with our own terms. Cain tried that. He did not like God's term, and he modified them a little bit. And his offering was not accepted by God, and that made him mad. So the one who does not like God's terms must go to the corner with Cain. God did not accept his modified terms, and God won't accept your modified terms either. Some Christians want to serve God. I've heard them. They want to serve God, but according to their terms. Not when it is inconvenient. Not when my wife is off. Not when my family is visiting. Not when my kids have a game. Not when it's too late. Not when it's too early. Not when the weather's so nice. Their terms are whenever I want, wherever I want, however I want. And God said, no, it cannot be done like this. Go sit with Cain in a corner. It is not acceptable to God. The road is difficult. It is a life of total devotion to God, a life of seeking His will, a life of self-denial, searching for what He wants you to be and what He wants you to do, waiting upon Him, waiting for His timing, not telling Him what you will do and what you will not do. Because of the difficulty of this road, some have the tendency to look at other Christians and say, oh, look how they are living. Why should I deny myself? Why should I sacrifice? Look at them. They're not sacrificing. They are not doing it. Look how they're living. And we are bad witness for others. And this is dangerous because they may be on the broad road that leads to destruction, thinking that they are on the narrow road. It is possible to do great things for God while being on the road to destruction. And we will see this next week. We will see that not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of God, regardless of what they have done for God. You can be serving God and be on the wrong road. Jesus is commanding us here, enter the narrow gate. This is not a suggestion. If we want eternal life, we must enter it. Jonathan Edwards, America's greatest theologian, said, if our life is not a journey to heaven, it will be a journey to hell. There are only two destinations. There are people today who, like Marcus Aurelius Antonius, believe that our destiny was predetermined by God, and we have nothing to do with it. Well, Antonius, who lived 121 to 180 AD, said, whatever befalls you was preordained for you from eternity. Frenchman Jean de La Fontaine, he lived from 1621 to 1695. Another man who believed that the destiny of men was selected by God. He wrote, ask of the devil, or use magic, still you cannot turn any human being from his destiny. Well, if this is the case, then our Lord Jesus is lying to us here. He is a deceiver. Why make us believe that we can enter the narrow gate, that we can choose it, if the choice of road has been predetermined by God for us? Why say in John 3:16 that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life, if the choice to believe in him or not to believe in him has been predetermined by God? No way. God does not play games like that with people. People confuse the omniscience of God as the prearrangements of God. Just because God knows what choice will be taken does not mean that he has made that choice happen. He knows the choice that everyone will make, but he does not make the choice for people. He does not mess with the freedom of choice that he has given to men. He simply knows what we are going to choose. So do not be tricked to believe that God has chosen some people to be saved and he has chosen some people to be damned. I could not serve a God like this. I could not talk to a God like this. I could not talk for a God like this. There is a narrow gate with a difficult way, and there is a wide gate with a broad way. Every single one of us must choose the one we want. God will not choose it for you. Some misunderstanding Christians might encourage us to relax a bit. Broaden yourselves, man. You are too narrow-minded. This is the 21st century. You must be open-minded. Remember, our destiny is at stake here. This is serious business. Each road leads to a final destination, either to eternal life or eternal destruction. The choice that we make is extremely important. The choice is not simply to raise our hand in church or not. The choice is not just to say, oh yes, I believe in Jesus. Salvation is not a one-shot deal. It is living and walking with Jesus on that road in newness of life, in the power of the Holy Spirit. It is putting off the old nature, putting off the lust of the flesh. It is putting on the new nature. It is a totally changed life, born again of the Spirit, living after the Spirit, being led by the Spirit. When Jesus was multiplying bread and fish, multitudes love him, and they followed him wherever he went. They found out, where did he go? And they would walk and they would go. But then he started to teach, and they started to scatter, to disappear. And we are told that many followed him no more. His teachings were too hard. That was too narrow for them to receive. The Bible has a broad appeal to society, but when it gets to genuine Christian walk, many depart and follow no more. Why? Because it is demanding. It is demanding obedience. It is demanding discipline. It is demanding commitment. It is demanding sacrifice. It is demanding dethroning self, denying the flesh. And this is too hard to do for some people. But they want to go to heaven. But they don't want the demand. The whole thing boils down to this. Is God's Spirit dwelling in us. If yes, the narrow gate, the deserted road will not be a problem at all. The Holy Spirit will give us victory over the flesh. He will help us to strive to enter the narrow gate. And he will keep us on that difficult way that leads to eternal life. Be with God forever. Look at the order here. The gate comes first, before the way. First we enter the right gate, then we continue on the right way. Many have not yet entered the narrow gate. They have not made a true commitment to Jesus Christ, even though they go to church. They have not really been born again. They just play on the borders. They need to pay attention to the seriousness of this warning here. There are only two ways. There is no middle road. There is no such thing as neutrality. Oh, I'm neutral. No, you're not Swiss. Now, what is the difference between the two ways? Six things, and I will close with that. Difference number one is difficult, the other is easy. There is no easy way to greatness. Greatness is the product of hard work and strain. Difference number two, one is long and narrow, the other is wide and short. Rarely will something emerge perfect in a flash. Distinction is the result of long labor. Difference number three, one is crowded, the other is lonely. Following the crowd is not always the best way to go. Large numbers do not always make things right. Difference number four, one is deceptive and dangerous. The other is honest and harmless. Appearances are deceptive. What looks good may be very dangerous. And then difference number five, one is a disciplined way, the other is undisciplined. Nothing was ever achieved without discipline. You can ask any athlete. And difference number six, one is a thoughtful way, the other is a careless way. Not one would take it easy, would take the short, the dangerous, the undisciplined way if he only thought about it. So the decision is yours. There are two ways to go. Make sure you enter the narrow gate that leads to eternal life. It may demand self-denial. It may call for obedience and watchfulness of spirit, but it is worth it. It is the right road. It leads to eternal life with God. Yes, the other road is broad in doctrines and broad in morals and is much more frequented, but it leads to destruction. Charles Spurgeon said, "Those on the straight road shall go straight to glory, and those on the broad road are all abroad." That's what he said. There are two ways to go. One leads to ruin, the other to eternal life. We have a choice to make. And Jesus wants us to make the right choice. He wants us to enter through the right gate. He wants us to stay on the right road. Life is indeed full of choices to make. Making the right choice guarantees a greater eternity with God. And making the wrong choice promises destruction and separation from God for all eternity. Our eternal destiny is in our hands. We can choose the one we want. But if we pick the wrong one, we will have no one to blame but ourselves for all eternity. In our text today, Jesus confronts us with a choice to make. Make the right choice. You can choose your destiny. When we enter heaven, we will not see a man or a woman asking, "Why am I here? How did I get in here?" God did not make the choice for anyone. He has not predetermined one person to enter heaven and another not to. We have a choice. We select the destiny. We select the place where we want to spend eternity. We have freedom. If we make one choice, and it's the right choice, and it's a difficult choice, God will help us with that choice. God is for us. He's not against us. He wants us to go. Jesus' words say, pick, enter the narrow gate. I want you to take that choice there. Enter this gate. Go this road. This is the right road. Don't pick the other one. It leads to destruction. So he has our best at heart. He wants the best for us. And he tells us what to choose, which road to take. So take the right one. Because anyone in hell will never be able to blame God. What kind of God is this? Who sent me here? He does not send anyone in hell. He does not want any to go to hell. But people choose to go. I want to go to hell, have fun with my friend. Well, good luck, but it ain't no fun there. It's the eternal lake of fire, torment day and night. But they choose. Every one of us choose. Everyone who's with the Lord today have chosen to be with him. And everyone who are in Hades, in total darkness, awaiting the white throne judgment, have called the shots. They made the choice. They are there because they chose to be. Don't make the wrong move. Don't take the wrong road. Make the right choice. Enter through Jesus. Stay with him, walk with him, and he will lead you through heaven where he will be with you for all eternity. May the Lord bless each and every one of you who came today, who left your home, came to meet with the Lord. May he bless your heart. May he bless your home, your family, your work, and may he help you to continue on the right road all the way to your final destination, which is seeing God face to face. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.